Finding the right cleat can be transformative. Believe me, I've worn plenty during my career. So getting the right balance is crucial. The cleat needs to feel good on your foot, but also feel good connecting with the ball. The New Balance Furon 7 Plus is built with both of those points in mind, offering overall comfort and precise striking in the game's fastest moments. Because, as I learned the hard way, because I didn't possess much of it, speed matters in soccer. That's why the Furon 7 Plus is built for accuracy and precision at rapid pace, and is engineered specifically for use on firm ground. Why is this the ideal cleat, I hear you ask? Well, not to get too scientific, but the Furon 7 Plus offers a lightweight yet supportive hypo-knit with mesh lining upper construction and is paired with offset lacing for a truer strike of the ball, which is a long way of me saying that your game will immediately get better when these are on your feet. Learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Everybody, welcome to a new episode of In Soccer We Trust. I am your host again today, Heath Pierce, alongside Charlie Chuck Wagon Davies, and of course our friend Jimmy Conrad that's going to be dialing in straight from Doha, giving us all the latest and the lowdown of this upcoming U.S. men's national team game against Iran. Now, Charlie, you just got off the plane, but I know you've been dialed into to everything, obviously off the plane from New York, not necessarily from Doha, but how you doing? How you feeling right now?
I'm feeling good. I'm especially with the game tomorrow. I'm so confident in this group to get the job done. What about you? How do you feel about everything?
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to get that nervousness, right? Where we knew that time, there was a finite amount of time we were going to be in the group stages. It doesn't matter how it went, but we're still in it till now. And now there's 90 minutes, right? And there's some circumstances, and it's kind of gamified now, where we know that Iran can draw, and we have to beat them in order to qualify for the next round. There's also a potential to even winning the group based on certain circumstances. But like you said, I'm confident in this group. I think they believe and understand that the magnitude of this match. I think that second match showed them as much as it showed us what they're capable of doing and how they're capable of playing against anybody in the world. Now, because we didn't get a result, I think there's still that chip on the shoulder, and less so had we gotten one against, obviously circumstances would be different had we beat England. But I think there's still that hunger there of still something left to prove, as opposed to being like, hey, we've arrived on the stage, and that potential for maybe not playing up to their full potential. Looking at this game, though, obviously so much to play into it, right? We've talked about it. We've talked it to death since summer, probably, around who's our nine, Timothy Weah. We want to see him there. We want to get that chance. We had all these opportunities leading up. We never put him into that position. And now World Cup starts. You see this movement from him. You see that just his dynamic ability to be up top. Do you think that we are living in that dream world, or that we just want to see that and it's too late? Or do you think there's actually a potential that he's gonna play up there?
I think it's just at this moment in our dreams. I don't see him going to Weah now. Considering he had the prime opportunity to do it after Wales and Timothy Weah's goal, just fantastic run. And Haji Wright was even less impactful than Josh Sargent. So given that, you know, you need to win, you need to score goals against Iran in this final game, I think he's going to go back to Josh Sargent. Yeah. I don't see Jesus Ferreira coming out of nowhere to start in this game if he has not been involved whatsoever up until this point. So I think it's Josh Sargent. Although if I were the manager, Timothy Weah would get the nod at nine, and then Brendan Aaronson would get the start at that right wing position. You need to get as many players who are comfortable on the ball as possible, dynamic players, players who make good movement runs. I think we haven't seen Gio Reyna as much as we all would hoped because he's just not fit. I would assume that's the only reason, because it's definitely not quality. Well,
Charlie, you and I got some rogue text messages about
no, we didn't.
Circumstances and comments made.
We did not. We definitely did not.
We did not. But if we had, you know, there's a lot of talk around Eric Winalda's comments and referencing Gio Reyna's father and Claudio Reyna, for those that don't know, and what's going on with him. And then there's the other side that I'm hearing from people within the camp or close to the camp saying that these guys are being monitored 24 hours a day, right? They are under incredible supervision, not just in the time that they spend off the field, but on the field, that shows everything. They have these full scopes of their bodies and where they're at mentally, physically, emotionally. And so I think we'll find out more about all of that in the near future. But like you said, he hasn't been used so far. I'd love to see Gio Reyna get a longer run. I'd love to see Brendan Aaronson get a longer run. But starting up top, I guess we'll work up top all the way to the back, because mm-hmm. I think that's where the real potential for change is. What makes you think he's going to go back with Sargent? Because I get there's a comfort there. I don't think there was an overwhelmingly positive performance. I haven't seen him have a huge performance for this national team in a good bit, though he has been in decent form at the club level. I mean, what is it about his game? Assuming, and I know that you kind of balked at the idea that Iran are going to sit back and withstand pressure, because we did see that they were capable of playing higher up the field, winning the ball.
I don't think they're just going to sit back.
You know,
I think Carlos Quiroz managing this group, the expectations were let's defend for 90 minutes against England. Maybe we get lucky here or there. It went completely south. No one believed in it. It wasn't practical. They got punished for it. At the end, they started to open up. They got two goals. And so they carried that momentum with them against Wales, which was much more aggressive, a drastic change from the match against England and the tactics in the match against Wales. They were throwing numbers forward in transition. They were pressing at times. They waited for a player to get on the ball, and then they would go. Meppam in particular, I don't think he's best with the ball at his feet. As soon as he touched the ball, it was a trigger. Go. And I think for us, it's going to be the same thing when Walker Zimmerman touches the ball. Tim Ream, he defers to Tim Ream when it comes to building out of the back. And Tim Ream has done a good job of picking the right players and playing between the lines versus playing out wide and making the safe play versus trying to put it in the channel or give the center forward a chance to bring it down. Walker Zimmerman is either giving it right to Tim Ream or he's playing that 5-yard pass, an easy pass. He's not trying to make the game. There have been times, especially in England, where he's so dependent on that 5-yard ball that he would play it to Tyler Adams in poor positions, which led to a turnover where England were able to counter, and obviously nothing came of it, but it was a dangerous opportunity. Those are the moments that I think Iran are looking at this match saying, hey, we're going to press Walker Zimmerman when he gets the ball. And then if they do have that bad moment, that bad pass in the middle third, we're throwing numbers forward because we cannot defend for 90 minutes and think we're going to advance. They know that. So the U.S. have to be smart in the way they approach. They can't be all out gung-ho aggressive, but there has to be more of a drive to take shots at goal, more chance creations, because we have not seen that enough.
Okay. So, you know, obviously, and we've got these stats up there for those of you who are watching this live in Group B. This is the third meeting between Iran and the United States, the first since 2000. The U.S. are winless in both those meetings, had a draw and a loss. And then, you know, the U.S. will qualify to the round of 16 with a win against Iran. Charlie, for you looking at this match, is it going to come down to I understand collective performance, right? We mm-hmm. saw that against England. But is it going to come down to what part of the field is going to have to be better for us? The attack or the defense? That what's it going to come down to there that you think is going to get this result against Iran? Is it going to, because we've mm-hmm. yet to see we've seen some fluidity at times in our attack, mm-hmm. but we've yet to see this attack really come to life. Like you said, the combination play in and around the box, that sort of risk taking that leads to the ultimate reward of scoring goals or playing what I feel is more open and free. And then on the flip side, we've seen a mixed bag between the U.S. for long periods, very solid defensively. And then at times, especially in our first game, a little bit later in the game, kind of opening up and giving up space behind us. I mean, what's your overall take on this?
I think defensively we've far exceeded my expectations, at least, of this group, especially against England. Harry Kane is not 100%, and that showed, but it's still Harry Kane.
Right.
Bukayo Saka, Raheem Sterling. Not to mention, yes, Jack Grealish was still able to come in, and that was the decision Gareth Southgate went, although I probably would have went with Phil Foden. And Marcus Rashford came into the game. I think Walker Zimmerman and Tim Ream have done a fantastic job of delegating who should step, who should drop, who plays out of the back. You have to give a ton of credit to what Tim Ream has added to this team. He brings a consistency. He brings that leadership, and it's evident. Tim, I look at Matt Turner's big stop, the one chance that Mason Mount had. It's a massive save. I don't think he gets a lot of credit because they think it was a kind of a routine save. It's not, because it's very easy a keeper can get caught cheating to that far post, because we've seen Mason Mount hit some spectacular goals from that distance to the far post curling. And instead, he stayed honest, he stayed true, and was able to read that and not give up a rebound. So from the back line perspective, even Sergiño Dest defending, Heath, you have to be impressed with how he's been able to pick up the right positions. You know, yes, there have been a couple of times where he maybe was caught a step or two off, but ultimately, Anthony Robinson and Sergiño Dest aligned with Tim Ream and Walker Zimmerman, it's been pretty spot on. The first half against Wales, phenomenal. And for a majority of the game against England, you have to be very pleased with us defensively. It's still the attacking third for us. We get that one goal from Timothy Weah. Phenomenal. It's the one touch, two touch, lay it off, through ball, and you're saying, great, awesome. We haven't seen that. That's something I love to see. But it was one time. And then you get the service in the England game, but no goals. Can we have a game where we're seeing the through balls, we're seeing the whipped in crosses, we're seeing dangerous set pieces? Against England, there's also the one pick play where Walker Zimmerman came to the back post. He's alone. But Harry Maguire was on point and read it and was able to clear it. But that's something we hadn't seen. Some trickery on the set pieces, good movement. So I am so encouraged with this group. They just have to figure out different ways and be obviously consistent with the different ways to break down a difficult Iran group. And it's always going to come from the wing. That's where they leave so much space. They clog up the middle. They block it up. It's the outside backs that have to get forward and whipping these balls, and runs like Weston McKennie will be very effective against Iran.
Well, let's bring on our special guest, Jimmy Trashcan Conrad, who I'm sure is pacing
here?
Back
let's
and
go.
Forth outside somewhere. There he is. He's pacing. I knew he was pacing back and forth. You know, he's listening to Charlie on his soapbox, you know, out on Preacher's Corner, giving us the lowdown for this U.S. But
this
Jimmy,
like,
what's going on with you?
I was just happy to be on Charlie Davies' show. This is really nice.
Yeah, me too, Jimmy. Yeah, you know what? I just tee him up. I set him up, and he knocks him down. Jimmy, what's going on out your way? Obviously, we've got a lot to talk about for this U.S.-Iran preview. We've got some controversies to talk about, but I mean, what's the overall mood? Obviously, you're around a bunch of our former teammates with the national team. I mean, what's the sentiment and feeling going into this upcoming match?
Yeah, I would say that the mood is good. Everybody's excited for this one. I know there's a lot of, and I'm sure you've already discussed it, some controversy around press conferences and flags and all that type of stuff. I mean, I know the players, from what I understand, are just ready to play. It's what they're focusing on, and I'm sure it's the same for Iran. What I'm catching is that we're going to see a lot of the same lineup choices that we've seen before. The only thing that's up for discussion, apparently, is the front three. Now, I think we could sit here and say that Pulisic and Timo Weah are going to be locks. Why would you take them out? Why is there any reason to take them out? Unless you felt like they had some type of injury concern. Maybe there's some yellow card concern, but I don't even know if yellow cards even play into it. You just want to win the game and get out of the group and figure it out from there. So really, for me, it's just the number nine. Do you go with Haji Wright? Do you go with Josh Sargent?
Nope.
Or do you go with the player that I think is probably the best at creating his own shot, and that is Jesus Ferrer? I at this point, it seems like there might be some method to the madness in terms of their strikers and what they thought and how it was going to play out. We're going to see a low block from Iran. They only need a draw. They seem like they're up for this one in particular. I think that for better or for worse, we gave them some bulletin board material, and whether they want to use it or not, Croatia used it to great effect against Canada last night. I don't think it's as severe Well, I guess it depends on how you look at it. But I just think that we're going to see a very similar lineup. So that's really all I'm hearing. And everybody's been pretty positive and they're ready to go. So I don't know how you guys feel about it, who you'd like to see in that number nine, given our opponent. But
I'm curious, Jimmy.
I kind of want to see Jesus Ferreira.
I'm curious, Jimmy. I know it makes sense to have qualities of a player like Jesus Ferreira, someone who can, you know, drop in, try and pull some center backs with him, create some space for himself, but he hasn't played in any of the two matches. In the past 2 months, he hasn't been effective for FC Dallas. So how does that go into this match? Is it, man, we're that he's in form? You hope that he's match fit and sharp, because he's been out for an extended amount of time. And on top of that, hasn't really grabbed the position with both hands, even though probably all thought he would be getting more playing time than he has.
No, Charlie, you're great. I think that's a great point. And I think it gets back to something that I say a lot, which is hoping players will play well as opposed to knowing that they're going to play well. And so I guess if that's part of the conversation, then Jesus Ferreira isn't really a logical choice. I would say then it's either Josh Sargent or Haji Wright. And I'd still, though, fall back on, well, which one of those two is the best at creating chances on their own?
Josh Sargent.
One of those two is enough at creating that little half space. Even if it's not a shot, it's creating a passing lane so that if Timo Weah is making a run from outside to in, or Christian Pulisic's coming in, or if they can see that layoff pass to somebody that's running through, you know, that's going to be, or to Weston McKennie, who's you know, skipping into the attacking third.
I mean,
that's the player that we need.
Yeah, I mean, on that, though, like, I know you're saying Josh Sargent, Charlie, but there were a few moments that I thought Haji Wright was dynamic, right? On the ball, willing to at least take somebody on, try to create an angle for a shot, those types of things. I didn't expect him to do that, period, right? I thought this guy was going to run channels and that was about it, but he did surprise me in some of those ways. That I do think that he's capable of getting involved and getting into the mix. But you still lean towards Josh Sargent in this case, Charlie.
For me, I didn't see enough from Haji Wright to even be considered for the starting role against Iran. He wasn't dangerous. He didn't show any glimpse to me that would show there's hope in terms of getting on the ball and being proactive and hard runs and pulling defenders out of space. He wasn't doing that. It was almost like, hey, what's you gotta get going. What are you waiting for? This is England. Josh Sargent at least made runs, hard runs, didn't get the ball most of the time, but made hard runs, had that near post header that came off the outside of the bar that you thought, okay, here it goes. And then the hold up play to get Christian the ball on the build up to the goal. And there was also various moments within the game where the ball was played to him. He either brought it down with his chest, he controlled it and kept it for the team. Those are the moments I can think of where Iran's going to give you the chance to play to your striker. It's on him to hold the ball, because someone will come up right behind him and get a chest into him, get a shoulder into him, a forearm. Can he hold the ball up and bring the attacking players into the play? I think he can. But again, I think Timothy Weah would be the best choice for that nine position, considering he'll stay high. He will keep Iran from bringing the line higher up the field, because you're not afraid of Josh Sargent's pace. He's not going to beat you from midfield or just a few yards in. Timothy Weah can. And so when you have that space, he will be able to get behind defenders on quick service if someone wants to cross early, which will be very effective against Iran. We don't have that player. So if you have Timothy Weah there, that allows you to bring on Brandon Aaronson from the start and bring on Gio Reyna much earlier in the game, let's say the 60th minute, than the 85th minute of the game.
Yeah. I'm going to jump in and say, and this is for everybody in the In Soccer We Trust community, that our resident number nine, Charlie Davies, is very perceptive, because I had people that I trust that were at the game when Haji Wright was starting for us against England, and they were saying a lot of the same things. He just isn't doing enough. He's not being as dangerous as he could be. He's not threatening the back line. He's not pulling them in spaces to open up space for other people. So I agree.
And that was Jimmy, by the way, and that was on a day that Weston McKennie was much more connected to that top line, right? When you're against Wales, I thought Sargent was much more isolated and had to figure out more to do.
Agreed.
But in a game like that, where we actually had players trying to go forward, it makes a big difference. Sorry, continue your
No, talk. No. And the other thing that has been really interesting in this particular World Cup, and, you know, I'm watching every single game, so this is a big theme, but super subs they're coming on and making a difference. And I would argue that that's what hasn't helped us. And it's not necessarily the players. It's what time they're coming on, maybe the situation. And that is where I think we're struggling a bit. I reference today where Vincent Aboubakar came on for Cameroon. They're down 3-1. Now, Vincent Aboubakar is 30, 31 years old. He's been around. He's got, I don't know, 90-plus caps for Cameroon. And he comes on in the 55th minute. And now for somebody that's experienced, or even our younger players, you get to sit on the bench and watch for 45, 50 minutes, 55 minutes, and you get to pick up on little things that you're seeing that, hey, if I was in that game, this is what I would do in these situations. I think I can hurt them like this. You have that ability, if you're paying attention and not dicking around on the bench, where you can kind of identify a couple of areas where you can exploit. And I thought Aboubakar probably saw that, and bang, bang, he has a goal and an assist. But if they would have brought him in, say, the 75th minute, can he really get into the flow of the game? Can he really try to establish himself in a meaningful way? And that's where I'd say
much more difficult.
We need to be more thoughtful. Yeah, and obviously,
but,
the longer the game goes 0-0 against Iran, then that's when that change has to. And even if our team is playing well, it doesn't mean that we can't add another piece to it to just to spice it up a little bit, try to enliven it, just to get that spark that we need.
I will say Cameroon were in a different position. They're down 3-1. Right.
I agree.
It's desperation time. It's now or never. Throw everything. And that plays into the role. Now, for the U.S.,
sure,
you could easily say, hey, we're 0-0 or we're 1-0 down against Iran. We know we have to win. You're taking off a center back. You know that Taremi and Azmoun, maybe Azmoun doesn't even have the legs to do it because he wasn't match fit coming into this, dealing with a calf injury. He's going to give everything he has. But maybe that's not enough. Maybe he doesn't have that much to give. And so you say, hey, we're going to take off one center back, throw on, you know, Gio Reyna early, or take off, you know, whether it's, you know, Brandon Aaronson, who's not playing well, or one of those defenders, and you're throwing on whether it's Gio Reyna, Brandon Aaronson, Josh Sargent, and that's when something can happen. You're playing with two strikers. There's more people, you know, more options, and you need chance creation. That's what this comes down to. We have corner kicks. We have dead balls, set pieces. We're not getting goals off that. In this game, that I feel like it's going to come down to one set piece, one cross. That's how we're going to win this game. They give you crosses. They give you corner kicks. It's on us, on them, to come up with that magic moment. And we have the players to do it. Weston McKennie, Walker Zimmerman, they do it. They've done it for their clubs. Now they have to do it for this country in these moments.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. Sorry, Heath. I got 2 minutes and then I got to bounce. So I'm gonna.
Yeah. Before the tower turns.
Yeah, please. Your time to me.
Yes. Please.
Okay. Good.
Just grab it right here through my camera and you can have it. Yeah.
All right. Listen, I agree with you, Charlie. It's gonna take one moment. I think if we're gonna win this game, it's gonna be 1-0. I think Iran's gonna make it very difficult. We cannot allow them to score first. They're very good at sitting back. If they get that one, it's going to be hard for us to score two when we haven't scored two yet in this whole tournament. So scoring first or keeping it 0-0 and trying to sting them on a set piece, I could see that definitely happening, and I would welcome it because we haven't scored on a set piece in quite some time. But we have to be up for the fight first. Iran is going to be out there, and they're going to make us earn it. They're not going to hand us anything. And the sooner that we can accept that, because sometimes you go out there and you think, all right, the pressure's on them or whatever it is to kind of get yourself in the right mindset. But we have to go out there and earn it. And so that's it.
Hey, Jimmy, how are your legs right now? Because
my quads are on fire right now.
For about 20 minutes.
I got a little tiny table. That's the only way I can keep it steady for you guys. And
trash
get good
can.
Wi-Fi.
You have a tiny trash can.
Needs a lot of help over here. Chiropractor.
I can see your legs.
Anyway,
shaking.
I love you guys. I love In Soccer We Trust. I love you, Heath and Charlie. I love this audience. And I love the U.S. men's national team. Let's go kick Iran's ass. Let's go. I'll see you guys afterwards. Later.
All right, Jimmy is out of here. Charlie, just to pick that up, you know, one of the thoughts that I had was, you know how when you get in these big games, right, where there's matches of consequence and you try to psych yourself in to these games of saying, hey, be patient, like we have plenty of time. What I don't want to see, right, and what I saw, again, around the 24th minute or so against England was the U.S. come to life. This idea that, like, oh, we can play with urgency. We can match up with them with that intensity. We can have possession with the purpose. We can go forward. We can take risks. I just saw basically our little babies grow up right in front of us in that mm-hmm. moment. And then you saw this strung out period where they were so good. What I want to see, and sometimes, you know, Charlie, the whole goal in any international match, because the intensity is high, the speed of the game is high, is to just get the game to settle down, right? You want it to settle down so you can play a little bit or do what you do best. And sometimes it could be a half. It could be 60 minutes before that happens. But the U.S. was able to do that against England by the 20th minute or so. And I want to see that against Iran. Okay, if Iran wants to defend really well, we got to defend really well. But I want to see that sort of that risk from the beginning instead of it being, you know, this like slow methodical chess of like, we're going to get our chance. Let's try to finish it like we're playing away in CONCACAF. I want to see that intensity from the start to say, hey, you know what? We're going to make Iran respect us from the very beginning of this game, right? They're going to fear the fact that we're going to try to score in the first minute. We're going to try to score in the 10th minute. We're going to try to score in the 30th minute. Not just try to play conservative to where Iran makes a mistake and we capitalize on that. I want that fear. I mean, do you want to come out different than that? Or how are you looking at this game in terms of not just, like you said, a moment of brilliance that we're going to get our goal from, but sometimes that moment of brilliance comes from that momentum shift where you go, okay, I can feel something's coming, and it's not just against the run of play.
In this game, we want to see the same intensity levels that we saw against England. If they do that, if they bring that, and no respect, closing down Iran, not giving them time, they're going to try and just play it forward to Azmoun and Taremi and hope that something magic happens from that partnership. Whether it's, you know, maybe them playing off one another, getting a corner kick, getting a set piece, they're going to go down, try and win those fouls around the box in the attacking third. That's the way I expect Iran to play. And they bomb forward with their winger, with their outside midfielders. They get forward. They try and create. Those are the times where I want to see us win the ball and be aggressive. Just like they are. When they win the ball, there's no hesitation. They go directly towards goal. We need to do the same thing. It's got to be quick. Now, if we score early, then it's getting into the attacking half like we did against England and keeping the ball. That was what was so – that got me so hyped. I got so much juice. I'm so motivated because of how they controlled the tempo against England. And it was our midfield that absolutely dominated the English midfield. They set the tone. If we can do that against Iran, allow our midfield again to win all those challenges and then to be direct, trying those chance creation is going to be massive in this game. And that's why I think Brandon Aaronson has to start, because Gio Reyna is not starting. You don't go from playing 10 minutes to all of a sudden starting. I think he's going to come in much sooner in this game. And that's awesome because we know how gifted he is and he's playing with that chip on his shoulder. But we need more chances. We need more shots from outside. And the crosses, when they do come, we got to finish. But I'm excited. I think we know exactly what needs to be done to win this game.
That's well said. Well, Charlie, look, before we take our quick break, I got to say to everybody that's a loyal listener, a loyal watcher of this show, if you want to support this show, then use that QR code that's up in the top right corner of your screen and or the link that's in the episode description and go to the In Soccer We Trust store, because we're feeling generous. Use the code SOCCER20 at checkout to get 20% off your entire order. I got a hoodie. I got a long sleeve. I got a short sleeve, and it is comfy. And I've even worn it a few times. I wore it in LA and people gave a few shout outs. So rep this podcast and the show with pride. We'd love it. So go and get yourself some merchandise from the store. Soccer20 for a 20% discount. Charlie, what are you going to say?
You got some jorts too, no?
Yeah, for sure.
You got some nice jorts.
I got some jorts. The jorts are sold out on the site, so you're going to have to stay tuned when we get more of that denim back in the new year. But for now, you can catch the hoodies, the t-shirts, and all that type of merch. But we're going to take our first and only break of the show. When we come back, we're going to talk about the controversies surrounding this match and some of the things that have gone down in the press conferences, that's gone down with U.S. soccer on the social media side of things, as well as continue to break down this matchup. So don't go anywhere.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Welcome back, everybody. It is just Charlie Chuck Wagon Davies and I, Heath Pierce, for the rest of the show. Jimmy Conrad is on location in Doha, in Qatar, covering all of the games, and we appreciate his insight, but is only available for some moments with us, so we appreciate him coming on. But Charlie, you and I from here on out, let's shift our focus a little bit over to we'll use Tyler Adams as the example. Now, before we get to the Tyler Adams press conference, I'm going to give a little bit of context of what happened, right? So U.S. Soccer makes a post on social media, leaving part of the Iran flag out, the emblem within the flag. They come out with a statement saying this was a 24-hour show of solidarity to the people of Iran or to the women of Iran. It creates this big, huge storm, right? We now come to find out later on, the players, the staff, nobody was aware of this happening. They weren't aware. They weren't asked about it. The U.S. government haven't been asked about it for obviously because this was a social media type of thing. And it's led to this incredible storm where it's what I otherwise thought was going to be this solidarity moment between the U.S. and Iran going into this because it was based around human rights, now being this divisive thing that everybody has an opinion on for a number of reasons. So just to talk about a little bit, Tyler Adams then gets asked these questions in a press conference that are very direct, very aggressive, very sort of one-sided, and he handles them with incredible class, right? And
like
uses it as an education. Yeah, that's a great shout. You know, the idea of the captain that we want, this guy that's this young, is able to take something in a live press conference in front of the world to be able to handle something like that the way that he has. If you haven't seen it, we've actually got some audio here or video from it. We're going to roll that for you guys so you can just have some context, and then we'll discuss it on the other end. So if we've got that ready, let's go ahead and roll that.
My apologies on the mispronunciation of your country. Yeah, that being said, you know, there's discrimination everywhere you go. You know, one thing that I've learned, especially from living abroad in the past years and having to fit in different cultures and kind of assimilate into different cultures, is that in the U.S. we're continuing to make progress every single day. You know, growing up for me, I grew up in a white family with obviously an African American heritage and background as well. So I had a little bit of different cultures, and I was very very easily able to assimilate in different cultures. So you know, not everyone has that ease and the ability to do that. And obviously, it takes longer to understand. And through education, I think it's super important. Like you just educated me now on the pronunciation of your country. So. It's a process. I think as long as you see progress, that's the most important thing.
Really well said there, Charlie. And obviously for anybody that's listening and or watching the at the beginning, Tyler Adams calls Iran Iran, and it's a common mispronunciation of it. I grew up with a lot of Iranian people, so I was fortunate enough to be educated in that. But Tyler Adams uses this as a learning moment, Charlie, to say, you just taught me something. And even in the face of being asked an aggressive question, because the journalist says, let's for once and for all get the pronunciation right. Not in a way of saying, oh, and by the way, it wasn't like that. It was aggressive. He came after him.
A lot of people, I haven't heard many people pronounce it right, to be honest. So
Charlie uses, Tyler uses it as a learning moment, and he's able to look that person in the eyes and say, basically, I appreciate you for that. Talks about the progress happening in the U.S. I mean, just for you, how did you take all of this and obviously speak a little bit about what it's like to be sort of under the microscope, perhaps for something that you aren't to blame for, but are having to sort of be the responsibility or the face for? Because I know within your career, you've had to step up in a number of these types of moments, maybe not as comparable to this, but what it takes to be such a good leader like Tyler Adams.
You have to be composed and thoughtful and just know that you're, the perspective that you have to take accounts for everyone. And that's what he's doing as a captain. He's saying, let me answer the questions for the group. That's why I'm the captain. I'm the representative of not only this team, but you also put it in a bigger context. I'm representing our country. I'm the leader. I'm the one speaking responsibly for the men and women and the children of our country. And so I think the way he was able to not react to that question, because I did feel it was antagonistic the way he asked. He tried to get almost a reaction out of Tyler Adams, one that is not from a place of positivity. And Tyler just came at him with grace. And you have to have gratitude in the way that you approach the game, the way that you approach people, respect and dignity. Tyler is the perfect player to highlight what we are about. Hardworking, determined, understanding, and willing to grow. I think that's what is so great to see from this team is, as young as they are, and believe me, we know they're young. We hear all the damn time. This is the youngest team, this, and this is the younger team, that. And at the end of the day, you got to go out there and perform no matter what your age is. Mm-hmm. But they are trying to learn as much as they can and be better for it. And the willingness to learn and to adapt, not to be stuck in your ways, not to think you have all the answers. And that's what we've seen from this young group is saying, hey, we might be doing a lot of things as a first in terms of the U.S. men's national team. All these players playing Champions League at one time, you know, none of them having real men's national team senior experience, but they're just growing and they're learning and they're using it to their benefit. They shocked the world with that performance against England. I know they shocked most of the United States fans because England are the powerhouses. They are World Cup favorites, one of the World Cup favorites. They're a strong team. We outplayed them. We were the better team after 90 minutes. Can you imagine? We were the better team after 90 minutes. Not a question. Weston McKennie, Yunus Musah, and Tyler Adams dictated the game out of all of those players. So for me, I am so proud of Tyler Adams because I know him personally. We have a great relationship. And just seeing him grow and seeing how he wants to be, he wants the best for our country. He wants the best for our sport. Holla at your boy, that top man. And so just from that standpoint, it doesn't get better from a captain. I've seen a lot of captains. You've seen a lot of captains who don't have that class, who don't have that mindset. And he absolutely does. So,
yeah. Facts. Look, and again, with Tyler Adams in that situation, we talk about team building, right? And we talk about coaches that have thrown players under the bus, that and the effect that has on locker rooms. Jimmy talked about 2006 when Bruce Arena went out and publicly, you know, went after a few of the players and the effect that it had on the players in the locker room in terms of trust, of not being able to come back from that. That was a building moment for the team. And what I see there is a team that's maturing individually and collectively. And for them to be able to come out of that, we're talking about this. The whole media is talking about this. But one thing that's come out right now is the conversation that we're having about Tyler Adams, about this team, what they stand for, and what that means. And that is a building block of building this team. And I know this is off the field. A lot of this is political. I think the intentions, while I believe a little bit very naive on U.S. soccer's part and probably idiotic given the context of everything like that, the intentions of supporting the women of Iran and what that means, as well as the right to peacefully protest in Iran. I think all of that has the right intentions that I think a lot of the Iranians, as well as the U.S. players, can all agree upon. Now, with this team, though, I think there is a belief. I think the way that they handled that, I think that the way that Tyler Adams handled that shows the maturity of this group and what they're willing to do. And again, I know that's off the field. It's not necessarily a motivator, but it is a sign of the maturity of this team that sometimes we don't give them credit for, right? The young guys, they don't have the experience. They've never been there before. They've never been in a World Cup. All the things that we were going to say, well, if this team failed, we'd at least say 2026, we're ready. But this team is ready. And now they're a win away from going to the knockout rounds. And a fantastic result or a fantastic performance against England now gives me hope on how they can play and get a result against Iran to be able to go to the round of 16. Now, Charlie, looking at that, to shift back to the game itself, do you think it's going to come down to, as Jimmy mentioned, the super subs or in-game management? Do you think it's team is now – what's that?
I said, I hope not, Heath. I hope we don't have to.
Can we score multiple goals? Can we win comfortably or do we need to suffer and have it be a little bit more CONCACAF-y where it's like, it doesn't really settle down, but we're going to get our set piece, bang that in, and then defend like hell?
I can tell you one thing. We have the quality to beat Iran without needing the substitutions to come in and change the game. We have that quality. It depends on a number of things. Can we create that space in front of the Iranian backline or just behind it and expose them and get that early goal? An early goal will change this game and flip it upside down, because then Iran will have to change their whole approach, their tactics. And for us, that plays right into our hands. Come at us. We'd love to counter you and not have to think about how to break you down. The more space you give us, the more chances that we can create. I think we've struggled when teams have sat back against us. We've seen it in CONCACAF. When teams sit back in rigid blocks and give us little to no space in behind, we struggle with finding a solution. We struggle with the creativity of the game.
When to take risks is a big deal too within that.
So in my mind, I've always said Gio Reyna is one of those special players who can come up with that magic moment, whether it's playing a 1-2 or beating a player off the dribble, doing it, you know, his vision. Those are the players you want on the pitch. However, since he hasn't played that much, I don't think he's going to start in this game, even though at full fitness, we all know he's a starter in this team. That's without a doubt. But I think he comes in and he has the ability to be that super sub for us, given the game isn't going the way that we want.
And I guess looking at the team, is Tyler Adams still your most important player going into this game as well?
I think Tyler Adams is always going to be the most important player in terms of just his ability to cover. But probably in this game, I'm going to go with Christian Pulisic. Christian, I thought against England, took a huge step forward. He was much more active and involved in the attacking third. You know, the shot where he hit it off the crossbar, that's what we want to see. Taking players 1v1, getting in the box. If he can be the player that the U.S. knows he can be and breaking down opponents and getting those goals, we've seen him do it on crosses. So from the weak side, Iran tucked their outside backs in really tight. They play super narrow. That's why I think with him coming inside and with Brendan Aaronson or Tim Weah coming inside, whoever's playing on that right side, it's going to be vital for Anthony Robinson and Sergiño Dest to get involved in the attack and for them to, one, play clean balls that aren't getting cut out by defenders, are clearing the first defender, finding runners. And two, maybe there's those moments where we see Sergiño or Anthony cut inside and then either play somebody or take a shot, because that space is going to be there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know that Canada took a real beating this week, but I guess that was last week technically.
Well, but yeah, let's touch on that, because they were the better team in most of the match against Belgium. They don't finish. They miss a penalty. Literally would have changed the game. They come out against Croatia, and before that, their coach, Herdman, decides to say, "Hey, we're gonna give it to Croatia."
Yeah. Yeah, and again, contextually,
locker room.
Contextually,
how are you gonna say that to the press?
Yeah, exactly. Contextually, he's trying to show we belong here, right? He's trying. He's not. My thing about that is that he made the choice to share what happens behind closed doors with the media,
right?
And then the media ran with it, right? Yeah. He's not actually believing we're gonna go smack a team that's one of the best in the world in Croatia. I think it was more based on this idea that I've got my guys convinced that we can do this, right? Well, guess what? Someone else got motivated for it. And now we've got this game with the U.S. and Iran where there are some motivations. There's always been motivations between U.S. and Iran. There has always been tension. There's always been political side of things. There's a gigantic Iranian-American population of great people that support Iran with pride, that are dual nationals as well. You know, there's all those things that play into it. And now, based on the removing of a logo or an emblem within a flag, we've got added tensions. Now, whether you agree with the reasoning or whatever, or whose fault or whatever, all that stuff is still going to play into Iran saying, let's leverage this. Let's use this energy that we can now pull from this to beat the U.S. or at least get a result against the U.S. that we need to get out of the group. The U.S. on the other side are going to feel, the players, especially who've had nothing to do with this, are going to have to figure out how to leverage or at least block out all of these distractions to go and get a win against Iran. I mean, do you really think all of this? I mean, in my mind, all of this stuff would be really hard to tune out, right? If I'm sitting in a hotel, I'm in Doha right now, I've got a game tomorrow, it is hard to not be looking on Instagram or looking on my phone or looking on the computer of what's going on. Do you agree?
I think the U.S. have done a good job, the players, of cutting off social media. They're not paying attention to it. And I think...
I don't know. I give Winston McKinney love, and he likes my... Yeah, he sends me that heart back, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think they're very intentional with their time on social media because they know how it can take away from the focus and cause distractions. This, you know, we could see all up in the YouTube comments. We got the Iranian supporters and fans already trying to disrupt, talking that trash, saying Iran's going to win, no problem. I love the passion. I love what Iran has done for the players, for their country, what they're doing for their country. Incredible. But come tomorrow, those U.S. boys, that men's national team is fit and ready to do the job, get into the knockout rounds, which has always been the goal. They're right on course. They're doing what they're supposed to do. And with a win tomorrow, going unbeaten in the group stage, let's do it. I'm so ready. Let's go all day. I have no reason to doubt at this point. The only question for me is who plays the nine. That's the only question. And I know that's an important question because we're talking about the deciding game in a group stage of a World Cup, and you don't have a certain nine. But there are other countries who are still trying to figure out too at certain positions. In this case, please give Timothy Weah a run up there. It just gives you another attacking option on the wing. And this is the debate is why take off Timothy Weah when he's been so successful on the right side? Well, if you watch the England game, Weston McKennie now is finding joy up that right side, right? Weston McKennie plays at Juventus and plays on the right side of the midfield. And if him and Sergino Dest can be almost like a tandem tag team on that right side and take care of the whole right flank, then you don't need Timothy Weah to stretch the right side, especially if Iran are going to be playing a little bit of the, we're going to press, we're going to drop, we're going to press, we're going to drop. Because when they are in those deep positions, that's where you want Timothy Weah in the box. So for me, it would be great to get Timothy Weah as the nine. And if they go with Josh Sargent, fine. Sargent, he's capable of producing. He does for Norwich in the championship. And he showed some glimpses in the first game against Wales. But if it doesn't work, make that move early. And I think that's what we all want to see, the adjustment, in-game adjustments earlier from Greg Berhalter if things aren't going according to plan.
Yeah, that's well said. And I think, again, the U.S. and Iran are both coming into this game fully confident, right? Iran comes off of getting beat by England where they looked subpar from the start to now into getting that result against Wales that gives them a new belief. U.S., same thing. Glimpses against Wales, don't get the result. And then England, again, only come out with a point, but a belief that they can beat anybody, a belief that they can compete with anybody. And I think this is going to be a huge matchup. Obviously, the odds to win Group B are minus 600 for England just because they've got to just get a result against Wales and they'll be able to secure the group. U.S. at plus 550. But to get out of this group, I find it really interesting because Iran's got to play with, I guess, Charlie, let me actually ask you this. Who's got more to lose in this context? Iran, who've got to live with this idea of a draw, can get them through, right? So they don't need to score. They don't need to beat the U.S. or the U.S. who knows that they have to go and win this game. I mean, I feel like the advantage actually goes to the U.S. because there is a need and a necessity to go after it, to play, because you're technically out already. You are out of the tournament, and you have to win. You cannot draw. And so I think that plays well into the tactics. And like I said, wanting to see them like they did against England, go out from the beginning and make Iran respect you in the way that you play. Make them feel like, man, this is going to be a long day. You and I have both been on the field when you feel those long days, and you go, man, I hope this is not like this forever, because it can be tough. When you face a team that comes at you like that and you go, I'm going to have to do this for 90 minutes. No, thank you.
No, I think the U.S. are in a great position. Like you said, the pressure is on Iran because they have the advantage. A draw could seal their place into the next round. So when you have that doubt in your head that we need to do is defend and get a draw versus we got to win this game, I would always take the let's win this game. Let's go out and get after it, especially when you're the better team. You have more quality, individual quality. Obviously, you have to play as a team, and that's what's going to be the deciding factor in this game. But ultimately, I want my team to go after it. And I think for Iran, there's going to be a pressure because – if the U.S. do score early, that throws out their whole game plan. And they're not the best when it comes to having to throw all numbers forward and get a result. I mean, it took them into injury time to score both two goals. It wasn't in the first 90 minutes of this game. So
right.
When I look at the U.S. and playing Brandon Aaronson on the right side, he's great at the press. He's great in transition. He's great with his movements. He might not be the best at the breaking down opponents on the dribble, but with his movement, he causes problems. And with him so active and Timothy Weah and Christian Pulisic active, it's going to come down to what I think is those late runs in from midfield. Yunus Musah and Weston McKennie. Weston McKennie in the air. Yunus Musah maybe dribbling up into the box and playing somebody a clean through ball. Those slip passes in between the lines. That's how we break down this opponent. And I think, again, Gio Reyna is going to come in as a super sub. He is not starting, in my mind, because he's not 100% fit. And you're not going to risk a player if he's not 100% fit. And so that is why we haven't seen him. That could be the only reason. So there's a lot of people saying, why don't we address the Gio Reyna situation? There is no Gio Reyna situation. He's not 100% fit. That is why he's not playing. That's the only reason. He will get more time in this game. Just let it happen. Who knows? If he comes in and changes the game and they get into a knockout round with more minutes, guess who will get the start? You know, it's all about timing. I know we all want Gio Reyna to be on the pitch. We all know how good he is. But if he's not 100% fit and you can't guarantee him that he could, I always think of you can't play a player if you don't think you get 90 minutes out of him, because you never know what's going to happen in a game. Maybe you're forced to make a couple guys go down injured. There's a red card. You have to rely on players to play 90 minutes, and then you can make changes depending on the game. But you can't have these, you know, I'm going to sub him off at 60 minutes and I'm going to sub him on at 70 minutes if the game doesn't ask for that substitution, right?
For me, it's going to come down to being clinical, right? We know if you saw Iran, they had that big chance off the counterattack that was called back for an offside play. They scored two off of great transition play. The U.S. also in a transitional moment are able to score a goal. When you look at a lot of the goals that have happened in this World Cup, it's just about being clinical. It's about seeing some of these players do extraordinary things, putting balls into really dangerous positions, and then being able to finish them off. It's literally classic football that I'm watching, right? Of just being clean and clinical in front of goal and then punishing teams. Because when you see the bad turnovers, teams at the international level, at the World Cup, are punishing teams. And so if they get that opportunity, whoever's going to capitalize on that. And then, like you said, if it's 4, 5, 6 passes that gets you in front of the goal, Timo Weah gets that same chance again. He's got to finish it because you don't know how often we're not producing a ton of goal-scoring opportunities. So it's going to take the ones that we get to be very, very clinical in order for us to win. Now, Charlie, before we wrap up the show, it would be foolish if we didn't ask everybody in the comments, and I've seen a bunch of them already, what is the final score between the U.S. and Iran? What is the final score? And then I got to ask you, I want everybody in the comments to just throw that in there. And Charlie, for you, what's the final score? What's the result? How does this one play out going into the round of 16?
I'm going to go 2-1. U.S. men's national team gets it done. 2-1. I do think that the Iran gets a late goal. I think U.S. get a goal in the first half. They go up a goal. Because Iran has to change tactics, they're throwing numbers forward. The U.S. get another goal, and then late, the Iran gets a consolation goal. So I think it's 2-1.
Yeah.
Hey, I see a lot of doses arrows. I'd take that all day, but I do think it's going to be very close, and I do think the U.S. get the 2-1 win.
Yeah, and maybe I'm being a little bit naive and playing into the fact that when the U.S. went to play out against England, they knew the Iran-Wales result. And they knew it was going to come down to the Iran game. And they played with this freedom after a little bit that I haven't seen this team play with in a while. This belief of and it was individual and it was collective at the same time. It's a really weird thing where I saw, you know, usually we see like, okay, Timo Weah, he's in form. He's hot right now. Let's get him the ball, right? Like feed the hot hand. But then it, all of a sudden you could see, like we saw a few times in qualifying, where you see three, four players almost look each other and go, okay, we got this. And I want to see that going into this game. And so I think we're going to see the best performance we've seen from this U.S. team at this World Cup in probably quite a while.
Ooh, you give me hyped.
Yeah, I'm going to say 2-1 as well, because it's hard for me to not think that Iran aren't going to be able to counter something with our back line that we have, and the fact that we're going to probably have to push for a while. That could come in the form of the game being really tight, but I do think the U.S. comes out on top. I'm going to say, I would love to say 2-0, but I'm going to say 2-1 realistically. The U.S. go through and reach the round of 16 going in as the second team, because I do think England beat Wales as well. So that's what I'm going with. I appreciate all of you, obviously.
How do you think our Iranian friends feel?
I mean, I talked to Ari Alaverde from Gold Bazan, and I think he called a draw, if I remember correctly. I know he was giving his prediction. I came on for a segment on his show. I think he was doing a full prediction later on in the show, in his show. And so I think he was going for a draw. Obviously, one of the things that he said when he came on our pod was that he didn't think that football was the most important thing for the Iranian people right now, and for obvious reasons, right? There's all these other things happening in their world, in their country, for the diaspora of people around the world trying to figure out how they can support their people in Iran. But now they got that result. And now it might be that thing that's important, whether that's just for 90 minutes, whether that's a moment of quiet where the whole country can rally around this type of thing. I think it's starting to become that. And so I think Iran thinks that they can beat the U.S. They showed in a way very differently than they did against England. So I'd be foolish if you caught any Iranian fans thinking that the U.S. were going to beat them at this point. How about you?
Hey, well said. And for Kai718 in the YouTube comment section, who's an avid listener, thank you. He said, Carlos Quiroz, the Iran coach, said, "We are the best team in the group." That, don't let that fool you. That's all about putting the pressure on the U.S., taking the pressure and causing this distraction, saying, guys, they're the best team in the group, changing the focus, switching the mindset. So don't take that as, oh, yeah, U.S. is the best team. He's saying, he's complimenting us because he truly believes that. No, he's using that as a distraction. That's coaching 101. Hey, let's put all the pressure on them. They're the best team, not us. We're fighting against the odds.
There's going to be some in-game management from both of these coaches, yes, but ultimately it's going to come down to the players that we know, the players that we trust, the players that we believe, that we said we are going to judge this World Cup based on success and failure, drawing that line right down the middle on getting out of the group stages.
You said
we now
it.
Know what that picture.
Let's do it.
We now time. Know what that picture is, Charlie. We know what that picture is. It's getting out of the group stages. That means beating Iran in the final game. And for everybody that doesn't know already, the soccer world's eyes are focused on Qatar for the biggest event on the global stage. Stay up to date with every story and every heart-pounding moment with the Golasso Starting 11 newsletter from CBS Sports. It's your ultimate guide to the beautiful game, taking you beyond the pitch and around the globe with expert analysis of everything you need to know in the world of soccer. So sign up today for free at cbssports.com/Golasso. Once again, it's Golasso Starting 11 newsletter, and you can sign up for free at cbssports.com/GOLAZO. Now, obviously, Charlie, there was more that we wanted to get into in terms of Jurgen Klinsmann's comments, which we'll get to on another date, but I want to at least wrap this thing up on a positive note. So I'm going to give you your chance for your final thoughts, and then we're going to get out of here.
I just want to shout out the YouTube comments, the YouTube live followers, Eric Monge. Thank you. Appreciate it. Dan Murphy, I see you guys always in here. We appreciate it. This is our joy. This is our passion. We're talking about the U.S. Men's National Team. Heath and I both got to represent our country. It's awesome. I think a win against Iran will take us to the next level. Talk about everyone in this country coming together again for soccer. Let's go. I'm hyped. I see a lot of negative comments. Not a lot, but there's a few. Let's turn the narrative to positive. Why not support this team? Why not support this coach? Why not support this movement? And at the same time, be appreciative of Iran and what they're doing and the things that they have to challenge deal with and the challenge that they face for their country, for their people. This is why the game's so beautiful. It unites us. It also brings up conversation. And it like Tyler Adams eloquently put it, educates us. So I'm proud of you guys. Respect. Thank you for watching and listening to us. We absolutely enjoy this. This is coming from the heart. So I can tell you right now, thank you. And let's go US. Let's support. Watch the Watch Along show tomorrow. I'll be on it with MLS. And then following that, Heath, myself, and Jimmy Conrad will break down the game. Hopefully we're popping champagne. We're talking about the next round. But again, thank you all. We really appreciate it. And follow, subscribe, In Soccer We Trust, comment. We love you. We need that. Let's go. Follow and subscribe.
Oh, Charlie. I thought maybe our producer Lisa was going to just take it to the end credits right there, but I'll go over one more time. As a reminder, we appreciate all of you, but as a reminder, right after the US-Iran game, we are going to go live for you here to give you that recap. Hopefully, we have a lot of positive news to share from the U.S. men's national team perspective and talk about who our matchups are. But first, we got to go and get that result against Iran. So, of course, on behalf of myself, Charlie Chuck Wagon Davies, Jimmy Trash Can Cream Cheese Conrad, who was here for a little bit, our producer, Lisa, thank you, all of you. And we will see you guys after the match. See you soon.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.